Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. The call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rickc@ericloffholm.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on our Facebook group. And you can go out to Facebook and just type in Sales Technology Training Program, or you can click on the link in the email I sent out earlier today. That'll take you out to the group, and I also encourage you to bookmark that page, Facebook give to save your favorites, so that you can find them easily on your home page on the left-hand navigation. And that's an easy thing to do, so if you don't know how to do that, learn how. That will make your life a lot easier trying to get access to different groups out on Facebook. And if for whatever reason you're not able to access the Facebook group, just send me an email, again, at rickc@ericloffholm.com. Now, you can also access the audio recordings on our membership page. Just go to salestechsystems.com/stp-archives, and the link is also in the email that went out, so you can click and then go access prior calls there. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 90-day program that's designed to help you implement systems to generate leads and earn sales online. And there are 12 modules of content. And today we're going to be talking about Digital U online video strategies. And the name of this, of course, comes from a concept that I learned from Eric Lofholm, which he calls Digital Eric. And if you've heard Eric talking about this, you'll also hear him say that he was inspired by Brendan Burchard. So Brendan is a speaker and an expert, an author, and Brendan generates a lot of sales by using videos. And so Eric saw that and said, hey, I can do the same thing too. And so he called it the strategy Digital Eric. And the big idea for you is that you can use the strategy yourself. So I can do it. I can. So mine would be Digital Rick, and then Susan. Strategy could be called Digital Susan. Alan, yours could be called Digital Alan. It doesn't really matter what it's called. It's just the concept of using video in a way that's going to create content and information that you can post out online that will help to build your business. And so the bigger idea here is the concept of using video. And so if you don't know how to create videos, then there's going to be a learning curve there. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. I've also got a special guest who will be joining me a little bit later on the call at about 4:30 p.m. Pacific, and that is Susan Schlieff. And Susan is a visual marketing expert and also an upcoming author. And Susan is going to share some ideas on how to use video as a powerful visual communication medium. So she'll share tips and strategies a little bit later. So first of all, one of the challenges that a lot of people have when it comes to video is they're just plain uncomfortable in creating videos. So you might want to just check in with yourself and identify whether you are comfortable with seeing yourself on video. So the challenge is that people record themselves on video, they look at it and they go, oh, I don't want that getting out there. I don't want myself on video. And that could be a real problem because here's the thing. You're going out all the time anyway, meeting people, connecting with people, talking with people by phone. You are who you are. And video provides a powerful method to be able to create information to post out online that hundreds and thousands and more people will be able to watch in the future. So if you're not comfortable with seeing yourself on video, then that's a comfort zone, and you've got to break outside that comfort zone and move forward. The other thing you have to realize is that you're going to get better on video in the future. So for whatever reason you don't like yourself on video, some of the things can be changed over time, some of the things maybe not. But the important thing is to get into action to use video, and over time, then as you start seeing the benefits of it, you'll realize that this is a very powerful strategy that you want to be able to implement. And by the way, as we're going through the call today, I want to encourage you to join me out on the Facebook group. We set a goal for the number of comments on today's to go out to the Sales Technology Training Program Group. Look for the pin post at the top of the page. Go there now and post a message to say hello. And we're going to set a comment goal of 30 comments on the call today. So as I share ideas here, go ahead and repeat those ideas in the group. Also, if you have any additional tips or strategies related to video, you feel free to share those out in the group as well. Now, there's a couple different types of videos, and I just want to divide videos up into two main categories. One are the selfie videos, and then the second are professional videos. So a selfie video is basically a video that you're recording of yourself. And usually, in particular, these are videos recorded off of a smartphone, for instance. And so, you know, if you're using a laptop or some other means to record the videos, technically it can still be a selfie video, but the difference with a phone is that you may be holding up that phone, and so the image might, you know, shift and jiggle a little bit as you're holding up the camera, and so and the angle of it, and people might see your arm as you're holding it up. So the selfie videos, they're a very particular type of videos. A couple benefits of the selfie videos is they're quick. You can have an idea and you could record a video literally in 2 to 3 minutes, and then you could post that online. And so it's a very simple way to get something created and get something up and post it up on YouTube so that you can start sharing information with people. Now, professional videos, those are where you're actually hiring a videographer. And in some cases, it may mean going to a studio. It could be that you are having someone come to you. I work out of the headquarters of Aircloth Home International. We have a green room here at the office. And so we have a green screen set up. We have lighting set up. And then typically we'll have our videographer come in and record Eric on video. And he's also worked with a number of our clients, too. So we haven't really put it out there that much, but for folks in the local area who find it convenient, sometimes we'll arrange for them to come in and have the videographer record them on video. Now, Susan Weinschenk, PhD, who's also known as the Brain Lady, said she uncovered four core, very human reasons that we're drawn to video. And number one, and you know, I don't know all this information, but I'm just passing this along to you. I want to share these ideas that I learned. She said, number one, the fusiform facial area makes us pay attention to faces. This is an actual brain function that hardwires us to use the human face as a gathering point for information and believability. So I think what she's saying basically there is we are hardwired in our brain to look at faces and to be able to interpret faces. So when we see a face on video, we're naturally drawn to that. So you want to think about that in your marketing. So this is even more important than, say, just, you know, using a PowerPoint presentation and putting it up there with you talking on it. What they're saying here is that it's more important for people to see your face. It's a gathering point for information and believability. Number two, voice conveys rich information. The simple sound of a human voice speaking to us has an amazing way of converting information into meaningful content. So not only will people see you on video, but they'll also hear you as well. And so they're going to get a lot of value in just hearing you speak. Number three, emotions are contagious. Here's a subtle but powerful aspect that we may take for granted. The body language of emotions is appealing, and we naturally love to share. So, for instance, if you smile on video, then it's much more likely that you're going to influence other people to smile as well. So you might want to think about what emotions that you're conveying in your videos. And you might even have an intention about what type of emotion that you want to communicate. Number four, movement grabs attention. Now, that one I do know about. So another trait that runs deep in our collective anthropological DNA is the power of peripheral motion. Since the Stone Age, we've survived by noticing things in motion. So that's an important concept. When you're doing your videos, when you're recording them, make sure that you think about including some movement in there, even if it's just moving your hands around. I also like to use props in videos. A prop is anything that you can hold up during your video. And it doesn't have to be terribly complex. It could just be something that grabs their attention. Also, if you have anything that makes noise, like in one of the videos that I recorded, I held up my car keys, and then I jingled the car keys. So now I have movement, and I have sound, and it helps to grab people's attention. Because sometimes people lose focus, they get distracted, you have to bring them back in. All right, I'm going to pop out to the Facebook group real quick and see how many comments we're up to. Okay, looks like we're up to four. All right, four down, 26 to go. All right, so tips to create short, high-impact videos. First of all, I recommend that you create short, high-impact videos, which in my opinion, that's about 2 to 3 minutes long. Now, remember, there are different videos for different purposes. So the kind of videos I'm talking about here are the kind that you'd probably just post out on YouTube. So you're probably going to be reaching a lot of people that don't know who you are. And you don't want to just post a lot of long videos out there. They may not be interested in watching the whole thing. And part of the video is that, and I'll mention this in a moment, we want to have a call to action. And so if you do a 10-minute video and somebody watches the first 3 minutes and stops, they're never going to hear your call to action. So one of the benefits of a short video is that you can share information and educate, and then you can also lead people to a next step. Make sure that you introduce yourself. Don't just assume that people know who you are. And so at the beginning of my videos, I might say something like, hi, this is Rick Cooper with a quick social media tip. And you can also mention your company name if you want to in there. Just keep it short at the beginning and then jump right in. A good formula for your video would be to introduce yourself, share one tip, share one story, give an offer, and that would usually be some kind of a free offer, and then have a call to action. Now, let's do a quick exercise here. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about, I just want you to come up with one idea for a video. What is a topic for a video that you can record right now? So go out to the Facebook group and go ahead and post and let me know what is one topic that you could record a video on. And I'll just give you a quick example here. Like one of my favorite topics is talking about email marketing. So if I were going to do a video on email marketing, then I'd probably want to pick one particular topic related to email marketing. So I might talk about something like email list segmentation. And there are a lot of people who don't know what that is. So obviously I would have to define that. So I could easily do a 2 to 3 minute video talking about the topic. I wouldn't necessarily be able to explain it in great detail, but I could at least introduce the concept and create additional awareness about it. All right, so once you come up with your topic, be sure to post that out in the Facebook group, and then I'll pop out there a little bit later and read it. And again, in about 14 minutes or so, I'll be bringing Susan Schlieff on to share some additional ideas with you on visual marketing and creating videos. All right, so let me give you another idea here. This is a more advanced strategy that you can implement, and it's called a pre-client funnel video series. Pre-client funnel video series. And you might be able to guess what this means, but let me break it down for you. So you probably heard of the term marketing funnel. Imagine a funnel, wide at the top, narrow at the bottom of the funnel, or the funnel are things that you offer for free. A little deeper in the funnel are things that you offer at a low cost, a medium cost. At the deepest part of the funnel are your most expensive products or services. That's your marketing funnel. And typically one product will lead to the next. Like you opt in for a free offer, that will lead you to the low-cost offer. Purchase the low-cost offer, that will lead you to the next product down the line. And there might be other ways to market those different products and services in your marketing funnel, but this is a simple explanation of it. So the pre-client funnel video series is a little bit different. What it's doing is it's funneling people towards you to book an appointment. So this is really a conversation about an appointment setting strategy. But the idea is, instead of just reaching out and booking an appointment with somebody, that you first educate them. And the way that you educate them is to have them watch a series of videos. So the concept is you record a series of videos that would be intended for someone that you want to watch them before they book an appointment with you. And then the question is, how do you get people to go through, or, you know, how do you get them to receive these videos to watch them? So one of the ways you can do this is by utilizing an autoresponder series. So an autoresponder series is a series of email messages that go out over time during a predefined interval. So for instance, the first email goes out on day zero, which would be the date that somebody opted in or was added to a list. The second email goes out day three, the third email day seven, the fourth email day 14, et cetera, et cetera. So you figure out the schedule of that. You create each one of the email messages and you add them as autoresponders into a series. So that would be an example of how you could get people out to the pre-client funnel videos. You can have them just watch all the videos at once, but what we've found to be more effective is to actually send out multiple messages over time, encouraging them to go watch a specific video. That way, each message that you send out really can help to build the value for that particular video. Because most people aren't just going to go watch a bunch of videos all at once. Some people might do that, but in most cases, people are going to benefit from being able to go out over time. And part of what you're trying to do, too, is leverage the time factor, because what happens is that if people just go through and learn about you in one day, they're going to have one impression of you. But if they're going out over a period of time and watching videos, each time they watch those videos, they're actually going to feel like they have known you for longer, because we're spreading this sequence out over time. See, an interesting thing happens when people watch videos, and the same is true also if people listen to you on audio. People feel like they know you. So if they're watching videos, if they're listening to audio over time, they're going to feel like they know you, because it's just like you're having a conversation with them. It's just that they're not speaking. And so they know what they sound like, but what they're hearing is you over and over speaking to them. And so it's a powerful form of building trust and rapport. Now, so then what? Well, there's a couple ways to handle what happens next. At the end of each video, you could encourage people to schedule an appointment with you, but you may want them to go through at least the first couple of videos. So it could be that in the early videos, you simply let them know that you'll be following up with them with an opportunity to schedule an appointment. There may also be some other point in the process, some other step that they need to take. For instance, you might want to have them fill out some kind of an online survey first to answer some questions. So if you really want to qualify people in advance before you talk to them, then you can use a survey to do that. And so your call to action at the end of the video, instead of to book the appointment, could be to go and fill out the survey. So you really have to think through the whole sequence, figure it out, and you would record the videos. You'd need to know what your call to action is, and set up your autoresponders and get everything queued up, and then have people go through it. And then how do you actually get people going through the series? Well, there's a couple ways to do that. One, you can just add people manually depending on what your system is. Some systems allow that, some systems don't. I'm talking about email marketing systems or CRMs. Another way to do it would be to create an opt-in page and then send people out to the opt-in page to fill out the form. And then once they filled out the form, they would receive the series of emails which would send them out to the videos. So I hope what you're seeing in this is, see, part of sales technology is breaking things down piece by piece, step by step. It's figuring out what things that you need to do over time, what things that you need to create that are going to help to create value for people, that will help to build trust and rapport, and that will also lead them to a next step in working with you. Eric Laughlin teaches three key systems: lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion. And this program, the Sales Technology Training Program, is based on that formula. We do four calls around lead generation, four calls on appointment setting, and four calls on lead conversion. And so today's topic has to do with lead conversion. Now, autoresponders, as I mentioned, are a great way to drive people to videos. If you don't know how to create an autoresponder, let me share a few tips with you here. First of all, I recommend that you create your email messages on your computer. So for email messages like this, I usually use Notepad. Notepad is just a simple text editor software that comes with a Windows computer. It's been around for ages, and it doesn't have any kind of special formatting or anything. And so I write my email messages in Notepad, and then once I have it, so in this case of an autoresponder series, I would write out each email message, and I would name my messages so that they're in sequence. So it might be, you know, just as a simple example, email 1, email 2, email 3, email 4, email 5. And so, and I might state what the topic is for each one of those emails so I have a little bit more details. But then they would sort by name, and then I can go up and open each email, and then I can go ahead and copy it into my email marketing system. So if you've never set up an autoresponder series in your system, that might be a good thing to go in and explore. And you don't have to start off with an extremely long autoresponder series. You could start off with three messages. So write out three messages that will add value, and then set up the autoresponder series. Enter each email in. And remember, when you enter the email in, it's also going to prompt you to indicate when you want the email to go out. And so it's always measured, for most systems, it's measured in number of days after they initially opt in. On the system I use, One Shopping Cart, they call it days delay. And so if you wanted to go out on the third day, the days delay would be 3. So it's 3 days after the date that they opted in. Now, how do you build toward a stronger call to action over time? Good question. So if you are sending out an email series over time and then sending people to go out to watch these videos, then do you have the same strength in your call to action in the first email as you do in the third or the fifth or the seventh email? Typically what happens is in a series, you start off and your call to action is very light and minor. And usually it might only be mentioned once and maybe in the PS. And then in successive emails, then you would want to increase the language in terms of encouraging people to click to go out, for instance, and watch the video. You want to have a stronger call to action. You might give them some reason to go watch the video. You might offer them some kind of an incentive to go watch the video. Maybe there's something that they can get, they can learn about in the video that they can get access to that they want. So you have to think through the persuasion on this. And then leading all the way up to the last email, and you might do a last email, and then you might do another email a couple weeks later for people who don't take action. Because not everybody who gets the email is going to take action. Not everybody's going to click and go out and watch the video. Some people may watch some of the videos, but they might not watch all the videos. They might not even watch the videos in sequence. They might watch the last video and then go back and watch the first two. Who knows? So you want to keep that in mind, is that you can't expect people just to go through in sequence and watch every single video. That's just not going to happen. So that's one reason why there's a benefit in repeating that call to action multiple times throughout the videos, because then it increases the likelihood they are going to take action, because sometimes people need to hear something multiple times before they actually do something. So there's a benefit to that messaging over time. Now, what call to action should you have in a video? Well, first of all, I recommend using a call to action like, I'll just give an example. Let's say that I wanted to share my free report on 33 simple strategies to build your email list. So what I'd probably say, you know, in this particular instance, we'd be sending people out to a video, but it's a similar concept. So what I would say is, I might share a tip related to email marketing, and as I'm talking about it, I might talk about the importance of having an email list. And so then at the end, then I would say, are you interested in building your email list? Would you like to have an additional 1,000 people that you're emailing out to each month? I created a free report on 33 simple strategies to build your email list. If you'd like to download a copy of that report, and I might go into more details about the benefits there, but if you'd like to download that report, go to socialmediaoutcomes.com/33email. Go there now and download the report. So that would be a call to action there. I'm asking them to go out and download the report. I'm giving something very specific for them to do. So in the case of the pre-client funnel, then it may be the call to action may be to go click on a link on the page or go to a website address and go book an appointment, for instance. Go and schedule an appointment, or it could be for filling out the survey. And again, you could have multiple calls to action over time in a series like that. Now, let me talk specifically about creating videos, and then I'm going to bring Susan on here in a moment. I want to share 5 tips for creating great videos. First of all, I do recommend that you write out a script and practice your videos. So the words that you use are important. And if you take time to write out your script, then you'll have a clearer idea of what to share. Now, the challenge is when you're doing video, you can't just read from a script. Technically, you could do that on an audio because people can't see you. But in a video, you can't just sit there and look at a piece of paper the whole time. So what I recommend that you do is write out a script, practice it, but also then create a short outline and have that outline available. And if you get stuck, then you can look at your outline. Really, you should get to a point with your video where you can just, you know, go through the process. And that's part of the process of creating videos is that oftentimes you just have to do it multiple times. You have to practice it multiple times until you get comfortable doing it. But having an outline, you know, printed in larger print makes it easy because then you have something that you can look at that will help to focus you in. Make sure that, so the second idea or second tip for creating great videos is to improve your lighting. So where are you going to record your videos? You want to take a look at what the lighting is and see what adjustments that you can make to the lighting that will improve results. I'm popping out on the Facebook page, and I see that Lori Whaley is out there posting. Susan is posting. Alan Murphy's got a number of posts, so I'll come out there in a few minutes, and I'll read some of the posts after I have Susan on the line here. Number 3, use props. I talked about this earlier. I'll give you a couple simple props you can use. You could hold up a book or a magazine. You could hold up a any kind of little tchotchke or anything like that, any kind of little free giveaway thing that you have that you think might add some value. Like I have like a little Rubik's Cube. I have a Slinky, things like that. In fact, one of the things I recommend that you do is create a prop box. So get a little box or a bag or something like that, and then as you find stuff, as you come across things, drop it into that box. And then when you go to create your video, you just simply look through the box and then find a prop that you can use. Find one or two props that you can use in your video. Number 4, look into the camera. This is one of the most critical elements. This is one of the reasons you don't want to be reading your script because then people can't see your eyes. So part of the value in communicating, when you're on video, your eyes should be making contact with the camera lens. So whatever you're using to record those videos, you should be looking directly into that lens. And that will create the perception that you're looking directly at the person who's watching the video. And then finally, number 5, the 5th tip is to smile. Smile. If you are not smiling, it will be noticeable and it will look like you're frowning. So make sure you smile. Probably your biggest smile is probably not even going to look that much like a smile. So do your best and that's about all you can do. But you have to smile pretty big for people really to see it and notice in a video. Might even be something you want to jot down in your notes. I'll often do that. My outline is to write the word smile next to the words, and that just reminds me, oh, yeah, I need to smile. Okay, let me go ahead and get my audio queued up here, and let me unmute Susan's line. One moment. Susan, are you there?
I am. Let me take it off.
Great.
Speaker. Bring it up to my ear. Hopefully you'll get a little better sound that way.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Go ahead and take it away and just share a few ideas.
Okay, great. Before I get to what I talked about, I just want to add one more tip to what you just shared, Rick, and that is to make sure you're using a really good quality microphone, because actually if the sound quality is bad, that's usually more objectionable to people than even having the video be bad. So you want to use as good a mic as you can and make sure it's properly positioned so that your sound is good. Let me share a couple of ideas. You touched on a few things that I was going to mention, but not a lot of overlap, so that's good. So first of all, I wanted to talk about why video. Why should we be using video as opposed to any other content? Well, Rick already talked about Eric's concept of the digital you, and that is an important one, but just to get a little bit of an understanding about why video makes a good digital you as opposed to any other type of content. I mean, why a blog post could be a digital you, right, or an infographic. But video is particularly good at it for a couple of reasons. If you think about it this way, the best method for closing a sales presentation, for really, you know, having an effective presentation where people are going to take action, is a one-on-one sales presentation. And so that's not practical to do that with everybody because it limits the number of people you could meet with. The next best thing to being there for a one-on-one sales presentation is a video, and particularly a video where you are on the camera talking to the people watching the video. Another reason why video is so effective is because you're really using three different types of input into the brain of the people watching. There's verbal input, which could be words on the screen, could be spoken, it could be a combination of the two. There's visual input with pictures and images and live video, if that's there. And there's movement, which Rick already talked about a little bit. And the movement is especially important. That Susan Weinzek that you referred to is, I've read several of her books. She's got great information about neuromarketing concepts. But in addition to movement grabbing attention, it's also change that grabs attention. The way our brains work, particularly our subconscious brain, is that when nothing's changing, our brain thinks, okay, everything's safe. I don't need to be on high alert here, so I'm just going to chill out. And our brain goes off of hyper alert mode, which means it sort of stops paying attention. So one way to keep people's brains paying attention is to keep changing something in your video and in your presentation. And movement is a good way to do that. Not the only way, but it's the one that really does catch people's attention. So the verbal, visual, and movement aspect, video is really the only kind of content form that provides all three of those inputs. So that's one reason that makes it so powerful. Now, that's not quite the same as if you were on Eric's call yesterday, you heard him talking about the NLP concept of visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Movement's not exactly the same as kinesthetic. There's maybe a little bit of overlap there because there's body movement involved if you're on the camera. But kinesthetic also refers to emotions. And as I said, the movement really is more important because it's something's always changing on the screen and re-grabbing the audience's attention. So one other reason why video is important is because the video's share of online content is growing dramatically. I think the most statistics are saying now it's at about 60%, 40 to 60%, somewhere in that range of the current content on the internet is in video form. That's already a pretty big percentage, but a lot of experts are predicting that that's going to go to 90% in the next few years. That really the huge majority of what's being shared on the internet is going to be in video form. So whether the year of when that's going to happen is accurate or not, I have no idea who has published these statistics or how accurate they are. But what it says to me, even without validating exactly the accuracy of it, it definitely confirms that you can't ignore video anymore. In the past, we could maybe get away with not using it because it was too much work or too difficult, but you really can't do that anymore. If video is going to be 90% of the content on the internet, even if it makes it to 70%, you need to be part of that if you're trying to run a business online or if you're trying to market a business online. So fortunately, there are a lot of new technology advances that make it faster and easier and less expensive to create video. Rick was talking about video where you have to be in front of the camera, and even that has gotten easier because there are much less expensive cameras available now. As he said, you can do a selfie video with your smartphone. You can also get tripods for your smartphone and set it on your desk and record a video where it's not going to be faking from your hand. But I know some really well-known internet marketers who have stopped using their expensive DSLR cameras to record videos and are using their iPhones or their iPads to record video because it really does do a good job. So that eliminates one burden right there that makes it easier. And then there are a lot of new software technologies coming out for other types of video, animations, whiteboards, kinetic typography, explainer videos where you have little, you know, hand moving little cutout characters onto the screen and things like that to create scenarios. In the past, there were video tools like After Effects that took a lot of time to learn how to use, and they were very expensive. They still are expensive. So all of these new tools that are coming out make it so much easier to get involved and to even create videos without being in front of the camera if you're not all that comfortable. Now, I still recommend that you get on in front of the camera a little bit so that your audience can see you, but you don't necessarily need to record the whole video in front of a camera. There are so many other ways to do that now. And I just want to stress here that just because there are lots of new cheap software tools doesn't mean that you need to learn how to use them all. It means you can afford to hire someone to create the videos for you because they have access to inexpensive tools now. And they don't necessarily need to charge you a premium fee to cover all of the expensive software that they're using. And I wanted to talk just a minute about some reasons why you might want to consider using some of those software tools to mix up your video content with something more than just talking head videos. For one thing, the variety and the change. The animation videos and kinetic typography and whiteboard videos, those are really good at grabbing your audience's attention and keeping them engaged. In fact, I know for a number of years, those PowerPoint videos with the plain black text on a white background and people would read exactly the words that were going by on the screen. Those were what converted the best. I never could understand that because it defies all the neuromarketing research, but that's what people were getting to convert for quite a while. That's changing. And now the latest is that those whiteboard doodle videos are the highest converting by a huge majority. So, yes, it's nice to be in front of the camera and let your audience see you, but those videos don't necessarily convert at the same rate as a whiteboard video. So why not experiment with mixing it up? And you can even use both in the same video. The other thing is using technologies like that allows you to capture things in a video that you can't necessarily record with a camera. For instance, if you have abstract concepts that you need to explain, you can talk about them, but it's much easier for people to follow what you're talking about if they have some visual representation of it to look at on the screen. And animations and doodles and things like that are a much, much easier way to record that kind of abstract concept. Think about, for instance, if you're in a health field and you want to talk about something going on inside the human body, well, you're not going to be able to capture that with a camera, right? But you can do it with either a PowerPoint video with stock photos, or you can do it with a doodle drawing video or an animation of some kind. So that's a little bit more work than getting in front of a camera, but it definitely has some advantages to offer. And certainly if you're using videos not just for conversion, as we're talking about today, video is also really good for lead generation. So if you're using it for content marketing type of videos rather than just sales videos, then you definitely want to have some variety in there so all of your videos don't look the same. You can have the fanciest green screen room. I just looked at somebody's videos over the weekend. They had asked me to take a look, and they were very well done. They had a nice blank background because he's using a green screen. He looked very professional, but they were really kind of boring. They all looked the same. He was just standing still in front of the camera. The content was great, but they need to be made a little bit more engaging and more interesting. And that's where these other techniques really are helpful. I want to share a quote with you from Walt Disney, the great animator. He said, "Animation can explain whatever the mind of man can conceive. This facility makes it the most versatile and explicit means of communication yet devised for quick mass appreciation." And when I first read that, I thought, well, maybe that was true because it was also new when he first started working in animation. But eventually I realized, no, there's more to it than that. That animation is still a really powerful tool. As I said, because you can express things in an animated video that you can't in an on-camera video, or you can express it in a different way that's more visual and more engaging. And another favorite quote of mine from Disney is, "Times and conditions change so rapidly that we must keep our aim constantly focused on the future." And to me, that is a good summary of why we need to be using video and why we need to be exploring different types of video. As I said, video is really good in terms of the goals. It's really good for conversion, for sales videos. And in those cases, you do want to at least have part of the video be you on camera, and then maybe add some animation or whiteboards or demonstration. And lead generation is the other really big goal for video. And as I mentioned, variety is probably more important there. Your call to action on those lead gen videos might be to download a free report, to opt into an email list, to share the videos on social media to help spread the lead generation. And just one final note, I wanted to mention in terms of technology, there are some really big synergies that are worth exploring between YouTube, Google Plus, and Hangouts. They're all owned by Google, of course, and Google wants you to be using their technologies, right? So the more of their tools you're using, you get more goodies from Google. When you set up a YouTube channel, if you set it up correctly and you link it to a Google Plus account and you set it up to use Hangouts, especially Hangouts on Air, which automatically gets saved as a video on your YouTube channel, doing all of those things helps you get ranked not only in YouTube but on Google as well. And then the fourth piece that you can add to that, which I have not started doing yet, is YouTube AdWords. And if you start running ads on your YouTube videos, then you get even more benefit from Google in those areas. One thing to be aware of if you're setting up a YouTube channel, or even if you already have set it up, you can go back and change some of these things. Even if you're not planning to run ads yet, you should set up your account for YouTube AdWords, because then Google gives you the ability to add custom thumbnails to your videos. It lets you upload longer videos. Otherwise, there's a limit, I think, of 10 minutes without doing that. And there are a couple of other benefits that they give you for signing up for an AdWords account. So that's one example of, you know, the more you completely fill out your profile and completely participate in the tools that Google is offering you, it creates this synergy that is really going to help you promote your videos and your content so that it goes up not only on YouTube but on Google as well. So that's what I have, Rick. I'm happy to answer any questions or pass it back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Susan. Appreciate it. Great job in sharing information.
You're welcome.
I love all the ideas that you're sharing there at the end around YouTube, Google Plus, and Google Hangouts. That's a whole area that most people aren't even tapping into, and just by getting into it, it's going to help people to really leverage that in a powerful way.
Yep.
Perfect. All right. Then I'll go ahead and put you back on mute and go through and read comments, and if anybody has a comment or a question for you, I'll come back to you here in a couple minutes.
Sounds fine.
All right. Perfect. All right, popping out to the Facebook group here and just going to read some of the comments out here. Let's see. Susan said, hi, Rick. Hi, everyone. Good to be here and looking forward to the discussion about video marketing strategies. Lori said, the code of honor that the samurai warriors live by, the code of Bushido, is a topic of her upcoming book. So that was when we did the exercise on what type of video to create. Alan said, people feel like they know you from watching you on video. Absolutely. And Alan said, video can be a lead conversion tool. He said, write out 3 short messages for your autoresponder series. Give people a reason to go watch a video. And also, what call to action should you have in a video? And I'm not sure, that may have just been repeating what I said, but and that may also be a question. So if it's a question, I'll just respond to it in this way. The call to action you want to have in a short video would be a call to action for a free offer. A call to action in a longer video might be to send people out to a sales page where they go purchase something. And again, the video is going to be a little bit different in the sense that the short videos, the kind that you post out on YouTube, those are ones where you post and then people watch them and they would click to go out or type in the website address to go get your free offer. Whereas videos that lead to a sales page, oftentimes the videos are embedded on your website. And it could even be that the video is embedded on top of a sales page. There are particular techniques that can be used, software that can be used, that when people watch a video, at a certain point in the video playing, then purchase options will appear on the page itself, so people don't even have to click to go to a page. They can actually be on the same page as they're watching the video. All these technology tools are available to use. You just have to know what they are and how to use them. Now, let's see. Alan said, tips for creating videos. Create a script. Practice it so that you can speak confidently into the camera. He said, adjust your lighting for maximum visual appeal. Lori Whaley said, prop box. Collect props to be used for videos later. Excellent. So she likes that idea. Alan said, look into the camera. That means you can't be reading from your script. And be sure to smile. And Lori said, smile too. And then I posted, use a good mic. That was when we were getting into Susan's content. Alan said, please be sure to use a good microphone. Alan said, why video makes a good digital you? And says, video is effective because it is visual, verbal, and has movement. Alan said, the brain responds to movement and pays attention. And also, video is becoming a bigger portion of online communication. And, you know, there's another aspect here of videos that we haven't even gotten into, and we don't have time in the amount of time available, but let me just throw this idea out there. There are live video chats, and then also the capability to record personal video messages and then send them to people. In fact, many years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I was representing a company that offered a video email platform. And there are a number of different companies out there that offer it. And, you know, it was a great tool to be able to go out and record videos, and then you could send an email and people could go watch video. You might have seen a presentation on some of these before. And, you know, some people use it and the majority of people don't. But it's still a capability that you can utilize. And I'll give you one more tip around this. My birthday was back in May, and I was out on Facebook, and I got a notification indicating that Eric Lofholm had posted a message with my name in it. He had tagged me in the video or in a message, and I went and clicked out there, and he had recorded a birthday message, and it was a message for me in particular. He mentioned my name in it. He recorded the video, posted it up on his Facebook page, and then he tagged me in the video. And so I was notified of it, and I could go out and respond to it. So that's another technique that you can use as well. You can create videos for people. So there's really no excuse for not getting started with video. I mean, even if you just did videos to one person at a time, if you're afraid of people seeing you on video, that would really be a really simple way to get started, to where you could start getting used to dealing with videos. And you know, there's some bugs that you'll have to work out in the future, because you know, one of the bugs you'll find as you're recording videos are with lighting. What you'll find is that as you're recording videos, the lighting is probably not going to be so good. So what you want to pay attention to is if you have areas of darkness on your face. And usually, because if you're just like in an office or in your home or something like that, probably some of your lighting is coming from the ceiling or from higher up. And so that angle is not particularly good for casting light on your face. So people who leverage or who work with videographers, the videographers will usually have lighting set up. And like in our green room here at Eric Lofholm's office, we have directional lights that face forward, and they're not necessarily like hot lights. Like some lights you'll be under, like if you've ever been on stage, you know, when they had lights set up, they're pretty darn hot, and they're bright too. And so these have a covering over the light, so it kind of mutes the light a little bit so it doesn't blind you in the process, which is nice. And those can be pretty affordable if you really plan on doing video and want to get set up with it. But I would recommend just getting started, start creating some videos, and then as time goes on, you can start evolving and incorporating additional things into your videos. Let's see. Alan said, video is almost 90% of content on the internet, and said you can record quality video on your phone or tablet. Laurie said, Technology is improving and cost is going down. You can even use your iPhone with a tripod. Alan said software can add visual and special effects, but it is not necessary. That's a good point. So there are things that you can do on the screen through software that can create motion or grab attention or divide up content or draw at a certain point as you're sharing it. And by the way, you can also do this with a video that you record, for instance, if you're speaking to a group. So it could be that you have, say, a longer video that you want to post up, and it's just you talking on camera to a group, and you might want to create some more visual interest, so you could do some video editing, and you know people would hear you speaking, but you might have a slide that comes up or something else like that on the screen that calls attention to a certain point or a picture or something else like that. So there's all sorts of things that can be done to call that out. Alan said you can be on camera or you can use a whiteboard in your video. Yeah, whiteboards, flip charts, those are all great things to be able to use as you're on video to capture information or to illustrate a point. Alan said software can let you add photos or create a cool background for video. Lori said variety adds interest, grabs attention, and engages your audience. And then I posted in the group synergies between YouTube, Google Plus, and Google Hangouts. Those were the ideas that Susan was sharing. Laurie said, thank you, Susan, for your information. Susan said, my internet connection keeps dropping, so I haven't been able to post too many comments. And said, I should have mentioned a good microphone means USB rather than the old-style plug. Ah, good tip. And let's see, Susan said, I heard one marketer talk about recording short videos to connect with people who he meets at networking events. Then he emails them with the video link. Great idea because it helps them remember what you look like and sound like. So I think what she's saying there is like if you went to a networking event and then kind of came back home or to your office, you could record videos for each one of the people. Kind of saying, hey, it was great to meet you at the so-and-so event. I loved what the speaker was talking about regarding such-and-such, and I loved our conversation about so-and-so. Nice to meet you. Let's connect again in the future. And I record that video and send the video link. Well, then what happens is that because you met them at a live event, now that you're sending a video, it kind of reinforces who you are and what you sound like because people have short-term memories. And oftentimes, if they don't hear you again, then they're going to kind of forget about you a little bit. And so by using video in that way, it allows you to create a reinforcement, and so you become more memorable. And Susan says, he said he records them on his iPad as soon as he gets in his car and sends the link right away. Wow, this guy's pretty deliberate about doing that, depending on how safe the area is that you are. I don't know if I would do it directly in a car at night from an event, but maybe during the day would be okay. Susan said, what you just described, Rick, is called the B-roll, adding visual interest to an on-camera video. Interesting, B-roll. All right, very good. All right, well, we're at the top of the hour, so it's time to wrap up the call. I want to encourage you to take some of these ideas that we talked about today and implement them, even if it's just simply to go out and create a video in the next week. So I'd like to encourage you to go create a video in the next week, and if you'd like to commit to doing that, go post that out on the Facebook group right now. So thanks for joining me on the call today. I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.